Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. Hello.
So those of you who are with us in the pre-show know that Ryan's webcam is not working, so I can't actually wave at him like I do every week, even though he can't see me every week. But still, it's weird. It's this total lack of feedback. I'm so used to after, well, we're on episode 168 now. I think we did 30 audio episodes before we switched to video format. Not being able to see you is throwing me right off.
Aw, well, I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on. My computer, it was working for the entire pre-show. And then for some reason, it's just like, what? Webcams?
Let's just Who needs those?
Yeah. Nobody uses webcams.
Damn technology.
So we'll sort it out for next week. I'm sure it's just like a restart issue or something.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure it'll be fine. I know I've had problems with a lot of my tech because my cat has developed a love of wires. So is just chewing on everything and pulling things out of sockets. And oh, it's a mess. So I think you should just blame Zoe. Yeah. Moral of the story, blame Zoe.
Zoe was in here, and she was looking longingly at the wires, and Yeah,
that's totally it.
She probably ate my wires.
So speaking of technology, dude, you have been playing The Order 1886. Mm-hmm. You totally and utterly kicked my ass in terms of completing it, because for those of you who don't remember, The Order was actually the entire reason I bought a PlayStation back on Boxing Day. Mm-hmm. So I bought myself a PlayStation, and I've proceeded to play about 2 hours of The Order because I've been so sucked into some of the other stuff we're going to talk about tonight, again, for the 50 billionth time. So I can't wrap my head around the fact that you got it like months after me and still finished before me. So what was it about The Order that just really like pulled you in and had you just finish it? Because I definitely hit like it was still part of the tutorial, and I think that this was a little bit of the problem, is that because I was completely new to the PlayStation, the tutorial is like it's like this big up in the corner. Yeah. And like I don't know what the buttons are. So I'm sitting there and it's like push L6 and then L6. You'll do the thing.
And I'm just like, L6, everybody.
Like, I'm looking at all the buttons trying to figure out what's what. I can't do it. And by the time I figure out, oh, wait, there's L6, which I do know that there's only like three L's. There's not six L's. But the point is, by the time I find the button, I'm already dead. So it was, although it was a good tutorial for somebody who is familiar with PlayStation, I think I need to play with the controller a little bit more before I dive into a game that's a little bit, like, technical, like a shooter.
Yeah, so, well, it's not even that it's a shooter. It's that the first couple missions lay on the quick time events pretty heavy, and you can easily get killed by not knowing, oh, the X button's the bottom one, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I feel, well, you there, but
and I'm an Xbox girl too, so I mean, I'm used to like A, B, you know, Y, X. I'm not used to circle, square, circle takes the square, tic-tac-toe crap.
Circle takes the square, X, and triangle.
Yeah.
I you get used to it with the controller. I think you just need to play it more, and I mean, it's, you have owned the PS4 for a very long time, and I'm sure there'll be a game that comes around that just latches, like, grabs you and is like, no, you're going to finish this game on the PS4, even though there are no card backs that come each month for it. Gah! You know? That's going to happen eventually. If the last 3 months have taught us anything, it's not The Order, unfortunately. Which sucks, because it's a pretty good game, and considering you've already jumped over the main hurdle that a lot of people had with it, which was its price point. I mean, you already own it, right? So it's like, that's not even a hurdle
and
for
see,
you.
And see, this is the thing that kills me. Like, I spent so much time being like, Xbox One, PS4, do I even need a next gen? Because my PC's awesome. Mm-hmm. I spend so much time on my PC anyway. Do I need a next gen console? And I went back and forth and back and forth for like literally over a year. And then finally was like, okay, you know what? The Order's coming out. I really want to play it. It's going to be amazing. So not only did I have the price of The Order, but I had the price of the PlayStation.
Yeah.
So I spent all this money to play this game, and I'm still playing freaking Hearthstone. Like, there's something wrong with me. I feel like I have just this ridiculous, addictive personality, and I'm just like, just one more. Just one more. I just need one more star. And then I lose a couple games, and I'm like, well, I have to get back to where I started. I can't just walk away. That would be ridiculous.
Right. And I'm not discounting the fact that Hearthstone's fun. Like, really, people should play whatever they want, especially if they can get that value. Although I'm assuming, based on your purchasing habits, you're not playing free to play. You're pumping money into this bad boy, right? Like,
I did. Yeah. We're not going to talk about how much money I've thrown at Hearthstone. I haven't in a while, though.
Probably the adventure would have been the last one.
Well, yeah, technically I spent money on the adventure, but I feel like the adventures don't even count. The only thing that I consider like spending money on Hearthstone are like just throwing money at them to get more packs. That's what I consider spending money, even though I know technically buying an adventure is spending money. I feel like that's just, it's content I have to have, so it's not even really like a choice. Like card packs are always a choice, so... but we're not going to talk about how much money I've thrown at Hearthstone. But I haven't since Goblins vs. Gnomes came out. Like, I dropped a shit ton of money on Goblins vs. Gnomes way back in, I guess, December. And I haven't since then, so.
See, that's what's interesting about this show, I feel like, in our dynamic, is that you are very good at pouring your heart and soul into one or two games, being Hearthstone and World of Warcraft, whereas me, I am like constantly like taking tea drops, or what do they call, what's that thing, eye drops, and just like eye dropping my heart into like all these little games all over the place. And it's very rare that I will often just be like, fuck it, make it rain, and just pour my heart all over something. And that's the one, kids. That's still PG-13. Sorry, Jocelyn. I should have saved that one for you. I figured I used it last week, so
yeah, that's okay.
Yeah,
well, I can get my point across without being vulgar, so it's fine.
It was worth it. It was worth it. Swagney. The Order. So I loved it, and maybe me playing it in the course of a couple weeks was more due to the fact that I had rented it and there was a time limit.
I think that would make a difference. If it was like, play The Order now or you'll never have it again, I think that would probably get me to sit on the couch and play. But then like tonight, I was like, okay, I know Ryan's going to finish it. I have to at least, you know, get halfway. Like, I need to push through and I need to know what he's talking about when we sit down and talk about this on Gamers Inn. Mm-hmm. Sat down, started playing, was texting a friend, and proceeded to fall asleep.
Which I don't blame you, because the start of this game is really slow, and I think I mentioned that last week, in that the first couple hours are just not painfully slow, but just
boring. But yeah, it's definitely, they're setting a lot of stuff up, or at least that's how it seems right now. And I mean, like, you go through a room, it's very tutorial like, teaches you how to shoot, and you're going through, and then you meet a couple of other characters. They give you like little tidbits of backstory, but the whole time I'm just kind of like, I don't care.
Yeah, well, you don't care yet, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
That's the issue. And I know.
I think what my problem, at least with The Order, is that I played the first like 45 minutes, an hour, probably 3 weeks or a month ago. So, oh my God, actually more than that, because I played it when it actually literally came out, like day of. I sat down and was like, I need to get in, I need to play this. Mm-hmm. So I played the first like 45 minutes, and it's kind of a little bit action packed. It does the whole like, you know, really in your face crazy thing that's happening, and then it goes like 2 weeks earlier. So it kind of like, you have that hook, and then it does the tutorial and all the rest of it. And I kind of had to stop partway through the tutorial, so then I picked it up again. I'm still in tutorial phase, but I don't have that hook right in my face. Mm-hmm. And so I was just kind of like, meh. I think I'd probably be better off if I just started all over again, like just scrap my current progress and just start it all over. But when I have, you know, like 5 or 6 hours to just sit down and really get into it.
I don't think the starting hook, like that prologue / 2 weeks late or 2 weeks earlier kind of thing, I don't think it's a good hook, because you don't care about these characters, right? And you're seeing,
well, that's true.
What the you most assume interesting... is the main character just kind of like getting tortured, and then you escape. And that's not a spoiler, because it's the first 20. Well, first feels like the first hour, because there's a lot of like slow walking and talking, which is the main issue with the first 2 hours of this. It's a lot of like calm talking, like Gears of War type stuff, where you got your arm on your shoulder as you're holding your intercom, talking to somebody who's not even in the room, and then shooting three dudes, literally, and then moving back to the walking and talking. And I think if you push through that, Like, even, and don't wait 3 months. Like, do it, like, this weekend. Take a break from Hearthstone, because, again, like, you've got a three-day weekend here.
That's true.
And the game, like I said last week, super rewards. It's just an old-school experience in the sense that you can pause it without any worry of losing progress or skipping cutscenes. It's just, it works, which mm-hmm. is, again, surprising to be praising it for that. But a lot of games seriously can't handle the pause button these days.
True.
So I think
so. Yeah, why don't you talk about what it is that sucked you in and why you liked it and why you actually ended up completing it long before I did.
Yeah, so after the 2 hour mark, you start hitting the story beats and you get to the point where they're starting to unravel this, not only the story but the universe and what the Knight's Order is about and what you're about. And they start to, like, unravel the onion that is this lore. Like every other video game company, they've gone and they've created this very unique universe, right? And they're slowly unveiling it over the course of the game as opposed to just dropping a tome and walking away, right?
Yeah, and I think, for me at least, the thing that pulled me into the Order originally is that, like, this is following essentially kind of like the Knights Templar, Knights of the Round Table sort of thing. And I'm a huge King Arthur nerd. So like, as soon as you start to hear some of the names of the main characters, you're just like, oh my God, like so excited. And so I thought it was going to pull me in a lot harder, a lot faster, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that was my problem. But yeah, so it's kind of like historical fiction almost. Well, I guess kind of those kind of legends are already fiction, but you know what I mean? Like it pulls from stuff that is kind of recognizable to, you know, your regular everyday people and then twists it into this super cool video game universe.
Yeah. I'm just reading the chat room.
You're supposed to be paying attention to me.
I am paying attention to you, but like, I'm also looking at the chat room. Like, it's funny. This game gets a weird sort of stigma from people who I doubt have actually played the game, like Jim saying, oh, I'm almost as motivated to play Dragon Age multiplayer as I am to play this game. It's like,
we'll talk about that in a minute.
Sure, we will, which that's my bad, Dragon Age fans. That's going to be a fun one to talk about. And, you know, saying it's definitely not worth picking up the PS4 solely for the Order. I think it's kind of, there are many games you want to play on your PS4, and the Order is one of them when it goes on sale. Like, but it looks amazing. The VO is great. What am I looking for here? The motion capture, like, of the actors is really good too. And it's so seamless. Like, it moves. And for a game that looks this great, you'd expect the loading times to just be crazy. It's all seamless. There's no loading. It's just constantly going. That's a plus. The gunplay is a little boring and stale. But when you do get to a moment where you're getting in the groove of it and you're popping guys in the head and stuff, it really does feel satisfying. But really what you're doing is you're there to experience the story. I'd say, like, this is the Telltale game that we've been asking for, you know, with good acting and great lip syncing and awesome visuals. Because I think this is really what Telltale should be aiming at. Hmm. Not a game that takes That's 5 years to make and...
Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it, actually, because, I mean, I'm such a story-driven gamer. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting that you say that that's kind of what Telltale should be looking for, because, I mean, it's still, there's a part when you go into the second floor on the tutorial where all of a sudden it goes almost like slow motion. Yeah. And for me, I was like, that felt to me like the Walking Dead, like, QuickTime thingies. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you're just sitting there and all of a sudden it's like slow motion. You have to hit a whole bunch of buttons really quick, like, you know, do it out of nowhere. And I was just like, oh, really? Like, I don't want to do this. I want to, like, find my cover, do my aiming and all the rest of it. And it felt a little bit gimmicky. And I was just like, oh. And then I fell asleep.
And I wouldn't necessarily blame the game for that behavior. I would probably blame the late evening, which...
Maybe.
You know, I remember last night when I went to bed later than I usually do at like 11:30, which totally took it out of me in the morning. I said, okay, go to bed after this match. And then what was it? 3:30 in the morning?
Well, I stopped streaming and started just playing Hearthstone. And then Yeah. One thing led to another.
Do you think maybe if you played Hearthstone on your iPad in bed, you'd at least fall asleep? And then, you know, maybe with the iPad?
Oh, that's interesting. But then I'd see, when I ladder, I get so into it and I get so, like, crazy intense and I can't just...
You got to get out of that tent, Jocelyn, and you need to try and go to bed at a decent time. Anyways, the game is short. As I was trying to beat it for the show, it didn't feel short because it kept kind of going. And it sets up, like the reviews have said, it sets up a sequel. Not like blatantly, but just like, yeah, we could do a sequel with this. The story is not just getting started, but we've definitely set up a two-parter at the very least if we wanted to. And I tried to, after I finish a game, I usually like Google it real quick to see where we're at. No talk of a sequel, no talk of how successful it was. Ready at Dawn hasn't had a bunch of layoffs, so that's a good sign. But I don't expect us to see The Order 1887 at E3 this year. That's probably a bit too premature, but I don't know. I liked it, and it looks great. And a lot of games these days may have the gameplay, may have the 200-hour tag on it, but they don't often approach this type of storytelling and VO and graphical intensity, you know?
You know, and I'm kind of glad that it doesn't actually take 200 hours to finish. Like, a lot of people, when this game first came out, said, like, oh, it's like 10 to 15 hours of content tops. Like, I want more for 60, 70, 80, whatever dollars, sure, depending on where you're from, because obviously we know Canada's dollar is just going down the crapper right now. So obviously all of our games are 80. Sucks.
It's terrible. It's awful. We were talking about it yesterday, I think, on game night, how... And... But the thing is, with a game costing $80, you just have to be more sure of your investment, right? And I still feel like we're going to have less buying large AAA games just because that looks cool. We're going to actually have to think about it. And I think The Order, there was enough of it out there where you could make a decision. And my decision was, I don't feel like purchasing this game for $70. I will either find a way to rent it or borrow it, or I will wait until it goes down to a decent price. It has yet to fall in price. I've seen it physically for $40, but...
That's also kind of a... Oh, you have seen it for $40. Okay.
Physically, but I've been more...
Like pre-owned?
No, like a new game at Future Shop or Best Buy. But I have been more going towards the digital front, and especially with a game that you're going to play and when you beat it, that's it. You're done. Mm-hmm. Like, it's literally like, continue or choose a chapter. And it's like, no, I did all that already.
Yeah. But what I was going to say is that, you know, like a lot of people were saying, like, oh, well, I don't have enough hours. You know, there's not enough hours of content to justify that price. And for me, at least, it's like, if I know a game is going to take me 150 to 200 hours, like if I know that this is the next Skyrim, mm-hmm, that it's going to suck me in, it's going to steal my life, and it's all I'm going to do for 2 months. That's actually more of a deterrent to me now because I have so many other things going on. Like, I have to play Hearthstone. I have to play Warcraft. Like, because, I mean, like with Hearthstone, I've got Angry Chicken that I do. With Warcraft, we've got the raid team. And there's a couple PvP projects that we've kind of got in the works. So, you know, like I have responsibilities in those games. Like, I have to be playing those games. So if I have something that is going to suck up so much of my time, like Dragon Age, I mm-hmm never, ever, ever got into that. And we touched on the fact that we played some multiplayer last night. And, like, I don't want to start that game because I know it's got so much content. And I don't have time for it. I don't want to do that right now. So, I don't know. To me, it's more of a deterrent. I'm glad that The Order is only 10 or 15 hours. I feel like that is much more consumable, and I'd rather pay $70 or $80 for that experience than pay $70 or $80 for an experience like Dragon Age, or possibly, from what I've seen, The Witcher. I don't know if I'm going to pick that up because I'm just like, I'm not going to experience the entire game because it's just too big.
Yeah, The Witcher is one of those games where it's like, I really want to play it, and I am going to play it, but it's like, goodbye other games. Like, finish Order, you know, get some Splatoon time in, let's play some The Witcher 3, and goodbye everybody, including, yeah, you know, just the outside world. And I figured The Order, if there's going to be a game that you finish, it's going to be The Order, right? Like, you own it, you have it, you can always go back to it. And I highly recommend powering through that intro because it is very slow. But as soon as it gets going and you start to understand the story and the motivations behind the characters, because the first bit of it's just like the intro mission where you're answering a call. It's all related, but it doesn't feel related at the time. It's more like, oh, there's a disturbance down the road. Let's go investigate. Oh, it's these dudes. You haven't even probably come across the main enemy and what the main enemy is, right?
No, I haven't. It was literally just like dudes in this like outdoor plaza type place.
Yeah.
And they were just people. And when I loaded back into the tutorial, I couldn't even remember why I was shooting these people. I was like, I kind of had the idea that they escaped from somewhere.
Right.
But I'm like, are they mental patients? Are they criminals? Like, are they? I'm like, how did they all get guns? Like, how did I even get here? Like, I don't remember.
I think they're rebels.
Rebels for what?
That's the thing, is that this game, you can tell, is like, you guys are trying to tell me a rich story. But at the beginning, it's like, you guys are just dropping the balls all over. Like, pick up your balls and show them to me one at a time so I can understand what's going on. You know? Like, it's got that problem. You know,
sometimes I'm like, does he think these things through, or does he just start talking and that's what comes out the other side?
It's a little bit of both. we got a question from Blood Anubis. You've moved it up to this, and
I did.
I'm guessing it applies to your time with The Order.
Yeah, so basically, Blood Anubis asked us on Twitter, what does it take to pull you into a new franchise nowadays? Is it the epic story, quick plays, DLC, platform gimmicks, or collecting? What about the reverse? What puts you off? So we've already kind of touched on what puts me off, and that's too much commitment, too many hours. Reviews that are telling me that it's going to take hundreds of hours for me to get through this content. That's enough to just have me pass on the game, which is unfortunate because there's probably a lot of things like Dragon Age Inquisition. Everyone has been going crazy over that game for months, mm-hmm. and still to this day, like, we get people writing in saying like, oh, well, why haven't you played it yet, Joss? Like, I know you own it. And then, you know, I haven't. And I tried multiplayer yesterday and that sucked.
Preface, good sir, good madam. We played multiplayer, and the first round you played with a keyboard, and having never played Dragon Age before, you had no idea what you were doing. And at least
Normally with mouse and keyboard, you look with the mouse and you move with the keyboard. But this was like look and move with the keyboard and then like, I don't know, aim with the mouse but without moving the camera. And it just took me so long to wrap my head around the fact that like left and right like were making me look places. Like I just did not like it.
Yeah, that's how third-person shooters work on the PC with a keyboard.
I always play with controller. I think I always play with controllers, and that's why. Like, it threw me right off. After I went all the way back out, chose controller, went all the way back in, then my UI was gone. So then I didn't get any of the prompts telling me what any of the buttons did. So I was just mashing buttons on the controller, trying to figure out how to do this. And then we ended up, was it once or twice?
I called it because, again, like, it was just like,
I was not having fun.
This was not, again, like, I think I was under just like, the
this
right
is the dumbest game ever.
Yeah, and preface, like, you were not enjoying what is the best part about Dragon Age, which is the single player. And also the multiplayer is pretty good. It all comes down to combat, right? Like, we talked about it on Game Night, which is every Thursday at 8, in case you guys are wondering when you could check it out. And we usually stream at twitch.tv/GISGamer. I'd said that the combat was an issue, right? Because if you really dig the Dragon Age combat, which is, it's more stale, it's more slow, it's more calculated, as opposed to the Mass Effect. We loved Mass Effect multiplayer because I think the combat is just more action-y and more in-your-face, go, go, go.
Yeah, Mass Effect multiplayer was just, I feel like that is the standard for me, at least. Like, it had a perfect mix of, like, complexity and surprise because you didn't necessarily know what enemies you were going to be facing. I found the levels to be complex, but still I was able to navigate through them pretty easily. They had a lot of corners. They had a lot of places for you to hide and for things to jump out at you. But at the same time, like, there was big open places, and, like, it was really, really good level design in Mass Effect multiplayer. I didn't get that same feeling in Dragon Age. I felt like, and maybe it's because I haven't played single player, I don't know if these maps are pulled from the single player, and that's why I'm not recognizing them, but at the same time, like, I found it was, like, not really intuitive as to where I was supposed to go, but it felt like it was supposed to be a directed experience, you know? Like, in Mass Effect, it's very much an arena. Like, you have a big circular or square area, and you just go and you're killing all the enemies, and that's how you win. In this, it felt like I was supposed to be going forward, but the forward wasn't always clear. Does that make sense?
Well, it's like dungeon crawling, right? That's the way they've set it up. You're not supposed to know the direction, and they are, they're not worlds specifically pulled from the single player, but they are like themed, so when you see, when you're in a location, it's like, oh yeah, okay, this is a Tevinter castle, I'm making that up, I don't know, like, oh, the new map they added was Ferelden castles, and it's like, okay, yeah, this reminds me of a Ferelden castle that I would have seen in the single player. Not directly ripped, but they, and all the maps I think are generated procedurally, so they're different every time you go in.
Okay. So it's again, very much like, yeah, like Diablo.
It's very Diablo. And again, I think if you get into the single player, get used to the controls, like, you know, actually enjoy the combat, and then play with a UI and a controller,
So play with all the things that I was missing. I was essentially missing everything that makes Dragon Age a good game.
Well, you were having a subpar experience because you were having a subpar experience, right? Whereas here I was playing with the controller. I had my UI. The game wasn't freezing and glitching. If that was, that would also get in the way if it was. And I was having fun, you know? Mm-hmm. Even more so fun if Jim had got his download. I think he finished it as soon as we were like, nope,
yeah,
F this noise. And David wants to play as well. He's been talking to me about playing. So maybe, I know I'm going to give it a second chance because I already enjoy Dragon Age. But again, sorry, Dragon Age folks who have been trying to get Jocelyn to play, including me. I may have ruined it for everybody. Although
ruined it.
I may have given Jocelyn an excuse to be happy for not playing Dragon Age, even though she's paid money for it. So,
well, I got it on a sale, though, so it's fine.
Still costed money.
So the second half of Blood Anubis' question is, what pulls us into a new franchise? And I know for me, like I mentioned with The Order, it was already being kind of familiar-ish with like the time period, the legend, the kind of jumping off point. Even though it's a new fictional universe, I was already familiar with a lot of the things that they were going to be including in the game. It's a lot easier for me to get into something like that because it's like I already know what the hook is than something that is just like, for instance, I know we've talked about it. I'm pretty sure we talked about it. But something like Ratchet and Clank, you know, like where it's just, I have no idea what it is. I have, you know, like no desire really to get into it. Did we talk about it? Was there like a Kickstarter by the guys that did that or something?
No, it was the ukulele thing, like the Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh, Banjo-Kazooie. That's I see again, like there are these like random dudes, two guys with funny names. Anyways,
was close.
Yeah. Anyways, point is like stuff like that where it's just like I don't know the story, don't know the universe, don't know, you know, like I have no familiarity with it whatsoever. It's really, really hard for a game like that to grab my attention.
So what does that mean? Like new. So I assume you're not the one on Twitter complaining that we need more new IPs because it sounds like new IP usually doesn't grab you.
It depends. I have to be, I guess, in the right mindset for a new IP. Like I have to be really bored, and right now I'm not bored, so I mean I need to be really bored. I need to be, you know, someone needs to say, oh hey Joss, have you seen this trailer yet? And then yeah, so I don't know, like I'm so wrapped up in especially Warcraft right now that it's just so hard for me to say, because I mean Warcraft is one of those games that really and truly, like every single time I sit down at the computer, I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of content at my fingertips in this one game. Like I can decide I want to run old raids to try to grind mounts, I can do PvP stuff, although I'm almost fully conquest geared, but even then there's achievements that give me these different titles that I want. You know, like there's just so much content, so much to do in Warcraft, and I'm paying for that constantly. So it's hard for me to go to something else. So it has to be recommended, and it has to be, like, grabby. Like, they have to have something that's new and different and cool and exciting. Yeah. And for me, usually cool and exciting is something that I already have some sort of familiarity with. So, I mean, The Order, that's a totally new, different universe, but they're pulling from, like we mentioned, Legends, King Arthur, all that kind of historical Templar stuff, which I find really interesting. So they have that going for it, even though it's totally new IP. But it would be a lot easier for me to get into Mass Effect 4, BioShock, whatever, you know, like, even though I don't think we're getting another BioShock, but that's the point.
Well, 2K wants to make money and they own the rights, so they'll probably make a BioShock similar to BioShock 2.
Yeah. So, you know, like, it's one of those things where, like, I would get into one of those franchises easily. Like, when they finally announce more details and release date and stuff for Mass Effect 4, I'm going to be, like, mind blown, all in, whatever else I'm doing at the time, like, screw it. Because I'm already in love with that franchise. Yeah. And I will play the crap out of anything in that franchise. Another one, actually, is we're going to talk about it a little bit later, but Assassin's Creed. So I didn't play Unity because of all the terrible reviews, but I played the previous ones, and I really enjoy that franchise. Mm-hmm. So what's the new one called?
Syndicate.
Syndicate, thank you. I was like, it starts with an S. Just,
I don't know that game.
This is why I keep you around. Do you remember all the words I forget? So Assassin's Creed.
Just that.
Just that. Assassin's Creed Syndicate, I'm going to get into. That looks really cool. I'm looking forward to it. And again, it's the same sort of kind of like London steampunk Victorian age vibe. And I'm so excited for that. So yeah, for me, that's what it is. And I'm a story person as opposed to a mechanics person. And I hate gimmicks, which is why I don't have a Wii U yet. Is the Wii totally ruined just Nintendo for me.
the thing is, like, the Wii U, it sucks. Cause yeah, there is the gimmick, the gamepad, and it sticks out like a sore thumb, but that's only if you really focus on it. Like, with everything, there's an issue with everything, you know? There's an issue everywhere with every little thing out there. And the internet, I think, has kind of put us in a place where we've always got a magnifying glass and we're constantly looking for issues, right? And one of those, with The Order specifically, like, you look at that game and it's like, oh, I found it, it's the length, or, oh, I found it, the first hour is boring, everybody don't buy this game and make sure everybody at this company, you know, gets laid off, right? So these games never have to exist again. And I think the Wii U it's a similar issue, right? Where, you know, oh, it's a big issue, don't get me wrong. You're paying 3/4 of the cost of that console is going to that tablet thing that isn't multi-touch. But when you use it with games where it makes sense, like Splatoon, where you're constantly playing a multiplayer game, and the map isn't just about where your teammates are, but is literally key to the gameplay, where you're playing a mode called Turf War, and you're trying to cover as much space as possible with your ink. Don't get me wrong, there's lots of dirty jokes there. We're not going to go there. But
like the opposite of Mario Sunshine. Have we talked about this before?
We
parallels didn't. Between Splatoon and Mario Sunshine, because that's like the first thing that I think of when you say, like, you're spraying ink all over the place. I'm thinking of Mario trying to clean up all the graffiti, and then like the whole like open plaza type stuff. Like, again, yeah. it so reminds me of Mario Sunshine.
Which
I loved.
Yeah, and it's very much like Super Mario Sunshine in the feel that it's the opposite, though, right? Like you said, instead of
you're cleaning, making stuff dirty instead of clean.
Exactly, and making
which is my kind of game.
Making stuff dirty actually allows you to traverse the land faster, because you're turning into a squid, diving into the ink that you've just sprayed all over, and then swimming fast, right? And that hides you from your enemies as well. It's much harder to see the opposing faction when they're in squid form, unless they're moving super quick at you. You can duck in. It's so cool to camp, right? They just had a global test fire event, which I put a video up for, and Tana goes in the chat room. It's like, whenever I see gameplay, I want this game so much. Well, guess what, folks? I got some for you. Prepare to want this game. It's a lot of fun. And the global test fire event was kind of like a beta test, where they had three different stress tests. And it was Turf War, which turns out to be one of the two multiplayer online matches that you can only play two modes, I guess. One is Turf War, where,
like, ever or for this test event?
Like, when the game releases, there are two modes. There's Turf War, which some people, again, it goes back to the order. It's like, let's nitpick. It's like, okay, you can only play two multiplayer modes and that's going to get boring. Unless you've tried it and you've played it and you're like, this is a lot of fun and different every time and you're winning.
Oh, no, like I'm not saying that
no, I know you're you not. Know,
two modes isn't enough.
But I'm prefacing to the internet who are immediately writing this down and are about to post on Twitter before I say, well, wait.
Only two modes.
Step away from the ledge.
Nerd rage.
Good sir. It's there are adding more. I guess they had a direct where they said like, oh, in August, we're going to add friend matchmaking where you can set up teams and play against each other, you know, months after launch, but it's a free update. Mm-hmm. Anyways, Turf War is where you basically battle in this map. And what you have to do is you have to try to cover as much of the map as possible in your ink. So it's a constant push-pull where you are trying to cover as much as you can see and also killing the other dudes so they don't kill you. So you can, again, keep spreading your lovely ink. And it's really addicting. The matches only last 3 minutes and they're over like that and you're given the score and it's like, oh, it was so close. I'm going to do this again. You jump back in, rinse, repeat. Literally, they like have to rinse the whole thing because it's just covered in this squid ink. Yeah. And I'm going to have more to talk about Splatoon because Nintendo was nice enough to send us a review copy. So I have like early, more multiplayer and more single player impressions, which I think you'd really dig the single player. It's kind of like the platforming levels in Super Mario Sunshine, except again, the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're traversing, it's more of like a platform and you're traversing using your ink powers to kind of go across these mini worlds that are sort of designed like Super Mario Galaxy. You know, in Super Mario Galaxy, they had all those little platforms all over, just kind of floating in space.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's kind of like that, except you're using your ink to kind of go and jump and go on elevators and stuff like that. It's really neat. And they constantly add more of these new mechanics to the single player as you're traversing. Like one I just played before we started. And I can only talk about like the early stuff, but it's like these sponges and you have to like fill the sponges with your ink so you can get on them and ride them up. But the enemies will shoot at the sponges, which decrease the size. And it just starts off really small, typical like Nintendo fashion where it's like, here's a sponge, shoot it. Okay, climb on top. And then like by the end of the level, it's like, here's like six sponges in a row and you've got three dudes trying to shoot the sponges as you're traversing over this pit of death. Go.
Fair enough.
It's a lot of fun.
I'm having a hard time keeping it together.
Why? What's wrong?
Nothing.
No, what's wrong?
No, it just some of this stuff just sounds so dirty. I just can't help it.
I'm trying to be serious.
It does at least I know sound... you're trying to be serious. That's, I'm sorry.
Does it at least sound like something that may interest you?
Absolutely. It sounds really, really, really fun.
It's a lot of fun. And I wish there was more like multiplayer modes, but I haven't gotten sick of Turf War yet. And I'm That's still good. Playing it. It's a lot of fun. And the cool thing I thought, again, another good use of the gamepad, while you're playing Turf War, you can look down at your map and kind of, you know, see, kind of you can eyeball whether you're winning or losing because you can see literally like, okay, the opposite team, Teal, has like 75% of the map. I better get out there and spread my ink more. another cool thing is when you die, you can actually choose your respawn point to kind of launch yourself towards your friendlies, right? So if you got one of your teammates in the other guy's end, you can tap on the gamepad to jump all the way across the map and join him in spreading the ink on that side, right? So it's kind of a neat way of traversing the map and not just starting at the single respawn point every time, which can get a little boring. But look at this. The chat rooms, it must be emulating what's happening right now. I can't see Jocelyn, but I am assuming she's giggling like a schoolgirl.
I am, and that's the thing. It's talking about just it's the spreading your ink thing.
I don't know
how to join up with the other dudes and just spread your ink all over.
It's weird, right? Like, because that's, I don't know how else to explain it, because that's literally what you're doing, right?
No, I know, and that's the thing, like, you're not saying anything wrong, it just, like, it's, the kind of game that just clearly, because chat room is in the same headspace as I am right now, right. And it's that of a 12-year-old boy, because that's just where I live. But the thing is, like, just there's nothing you can say that's going to make spreading your ink all over the place and filling up sponges and just, like, making sure you... Yeah, just you can't make that not dirty.
You can't, and you really can't. But the game's a lot of fun, and we talked about with the order. You know, simple is sometimes what we need. And another thing in the chat room, people were saying like, "Hey, I love games where I get in, play a match, get out." And Splatoon is going to support that, and it's a Wii U exclusive. It's being developed by Nintendo. It'll be out end of May. And it is a full price game, and it does have this subset of features, but they're really polished features that you're gonna get to play and play over and over. And it seems like they've announced a pretty hefty DLC plan going forward. But I'm gonna play some more of it over the next week or week or two, I guess, and we'll have more details. And I think we'll be able to do some more video stuff with it in the next week or so. So stay tuned for that.
You know, and I've got to say, Nintendo, as much as I rip on them and have for the last couple of years, just because I've been so disappointed, they really seem in the last 6 or 8 months to be the one company that's just bringing it in terms of titles I want to play. Like, there's been so many things I'm just like, oh, man, I wish I had a Wii U so I could play, you know, Mario Kart 8. Now, Splatoon, I feel like there's been so many, and I can't think of them off the top of my head right now, but I know Mario Kart 8 is kind of where it started. That was the first game where I'm like, okay, they've hit a point now where there are enough titles that I really want to get a Wii U now. And I didn't think I was ever going to get there. I thought I was going to just completely and utterly skip this console kind of cycle.
I'd wait till E3. Again, for those folks, we're around that point where it's like, oh, you're starting to get a niche, and it's like, we're literally a month away from E3, and if you're thinking of buying any of the consoles, just stop.
Just hold off, yeah.
Hold off. Don't stop completely and like, oh, full stop, back to the PC. PC gamers, master race. No, come back. Stop off the ledge. Let's talk this through. Splatoon is a great game, and again, like we talked about that fast gameplay and just jump in, jump out, it supports that, and it's a Nintendo title that has solid online, and I wasn't dropping any frames or lagging or whatever. It was just solid and smooth.
Earlier tonight, I sat down with my Origin library, my Steam library, and I looked at some of the stuff that was available to me through PlayStation Now and through the store, because I was just like, you know what? I want to maybe try something that's a little bit more like iconic, maybe something that I've missed. I thought about picking up and trying Infamous. I thought about trying Uncharted. I was like, the Drake one, you know?
Yep.
And both of them I kind of looked at and I was like, well, those are PS3 titles. Like, they're really old now. Fat Princess didn't look great, obviously, scaled up on my TV. So I'm just kind of like, I don't really want to start these franchises and then not like them because, you know, like, I want something that's going to grab me right now. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't find that in the PlayStation library. And I was kind of a little bit disappointed. I'm like, I spent so much money on this console, and now I'm sitting here in the store. I've got, you know, 50 or 60 bucks sitting in my PlayStation wallet, whatever they call it. And I'm just like, you know, I could drop money on a game right now, and nothing is sitting there going like, Jocelyn, buy me. And I was just like, oh man, did I pick the wrong console? Should I have gone with a Wii U? Oh, I don't know. But
that's a tough one. I mean, again, I'd wait, but it's got so much charm. Like, the way when Nintendo puts out a game, you know that it's going to have something that will appeal to you. Mm-hmm. And the only problem I've had, and again, like, it's early, it's not released like fully and completely, but the real cool thing is that in matchmaking you can play a little mini game on the gamepad, which is like a sort of like a platformer. And this was in the global test fire as well. So while the matchmaking's loading and sort of putting everybody on a team, you're keeping yourself busy on the gamepad playing this little arcade game. Sometimes the matchmaking and the test fire event did take a while. So you'd be like, oh, I've been playing this arcade game forever. Oh, right. Matchmaking's taking a while. And again, it's an online game and it's on the Wii U. So there are a limited amount of people playing it, even if they have like narrowed the window down to an hour. But Yeah, I've been enjoying it. And the single player, I was really worried that the single player would just be kind of like an afterthought, but it feels like a solid addition, and more so than you can say for a lot of like other online shooters, like focusing on online. The single player certainly does. It's a Nintendo single player campaign, right? You don't have to worry about it being a Titanfall multiplayer VO add-on thing. It's a platformer. It's really cool.
Yeah. So I think we're going to move this along here a little bit because we do actually have a topic this week. Yes. But I just wanted to remind everybody really quickly that I am doing the Push to Legend again. So this is part two. So last time I did it was in February and everyone made fun of me for picking the shortest month of the year. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to be playing a lot this weekend. I'm going to be doing some streaming and stuff. So if you guys want to check it out, twitch.tv/GISGamer, doing the Push to Legend. Also, I finally killed all the gnomes. So now I am Gnome Bane Adwale of Earthen Ring. I'm very excited. So that means I am 3 out of 7 of my PvP titles in WoW. So I'm now working on pandas. And I got in a really good nemesis group, and I got like 10% of the way through my panda quest the other night. So, which is actually really good because pandas are really, really hard because nobody plays pandas anymore. Mm-hmm. So yeah, anyways, I killed all the gnomes. I am now Gnome Bane, and I am pretty much halfway. Once I kill another 200 pandas, I will be exactly halfway to the Warlord of Draenor title. So I'm pretty excited about that.
You did it. You killed a bunch of things.
I did. I got 25,000 conquest points. I got my achievement the other night. So conquests are the like rated PvP points. So there's like honor, which is like the lower level stuff. And then there's conquest, which is the higher level PvP. It's the same sort of idea as back when they had them, justice and valor. So two different levels of currency for two different levels of PvE content. So this is for PvP. And I just got 25,000 in season one. So go me.
That's good that you're killing all the things, because you know what? We got a panda problem. And
I know. There's too many goddamn pandas.
Yeah, and we're all out of bamboo.
Really, really not. I'm going to make them go extinct. I'm telling you.
That is a problem, I think. I remember reading somewhere that pandas have been going extinct, and I don't know.
Blizzard, you know, it's funny. Someone, when I was in the raid the other night doing Ashran, we were sitting there and we were all working on pandas and we were chatting in our little group, and all of a sudden there was a panda that was actually in the Alliance raid. We were just like, oh my god, there's a panda here. They're just like, whoever plays panda on either Horde or Alliance, I mean, really, they're doing a community service. Because, I mean, it was literally, there were 10 of us working on pandas. So it was literally when the one panda came out of the Alliance fort and like 10 of us just like pounced on him. And I'm just like, oh man. I feel kind of bad for that person because he can't even walk out the gate without just getting completely owned. So.
Well, everybody wants to kill the panda, right?
Absolutely. That makes me sound. Every single time we discuss my nemesis quests and like this huge like warlord thing that I'm on, it makes me sound like such a terrible person. First, I'm like, all night elves must die. Then I'm like, all humans must die. Then all gnomes must die. I'm just like.
I
sound so violent.
I want to preface what I'm about to say with Jocelyn is not a terrible person. But in the world of Warcraft, she's a terrible person. I mean, let's be honest.
I'm not a terrible person. I'm competitive.
Well, okay, sure. When you're comparing your scalped panda rugs to...
They're panda hides.
Okay.
Thank you.
So when you're garrison, the entire garrison, I'm not just talking about the little foyer. I'm talking about like everything. You don't step in snow. It's all panda hide. It's kind of crazy.
Oh, yeah.
The horde people
are like...
There's
effigies on fire. There's...
Sure. We'll get to that. One problem at a time. You know, when you bring your horde friends in, it's like, oh, this is really nice. It's cushy. I mean, I could just sleep anywhere. It's so soft, this panda skin. But
those are the hides of my enemies.
Yeah, you know, and you say that all proud, and oh yeah, those are the hides. And then like maybe an Alliance spy comes in and is just like, you know what, just nuke it. It's just far too gone. You know, just nuke it.
Oh.
You really, really probably should seek help, because really, like, I don't know, you're killing all these things, and I just feel like the Alliance, the next expansion is just gonna be, all right, what are we gonna do about Jocelyn here? and you're going to be a raid boss.
To be fair, there are a lot of people doing the exact same thing that I'm doing.
Exactly. And they're going to be, they're part of the problem too, right? So I think the next expansion will be like...
kill all the horde. To be fair, okay, so I know that we keep talking about killing, you know, night elves and pandas and gnomes and all the rest of it. And everyone's like, oh, but they're so cute. And they're the Alliance. And aren't they pretty? The Alliance has the exact same thing. Quest to kill all the blood elves. Quest to kill all the orcs. So yeah. Don't even talk to me about how the Horde is beating up on the Alliance, because it is not like that.
But did the Alliance have podcasts where they talk about killing other races a lot?
Probably. Have you never played Warcraft? The Alliance is super racist.
I have played World of Warcraft, and you're right. The Alliance are kind of racist. They kind of started this whole thing.
Yeah, they did.
But doesn't mean you got to finish it, Jocelyn.
Yeah, it does.
It's not
have
how
it works. Have you met me?
Yes, I have. So, yeah, I suppose. Maybe yeah, finish the fight.
I do have to finish it a little bit.
Finish the fight.
So Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code THEGAMERSIN to upgrade to an SSD when you purchase a new gaming rig. Head on over to doghousesystems.com and get your order on. Which brings us to our topic of the week this week, and we are talking about Assassin's Creed and the fact that Ubisoft just full out pretty much apologized for the whole Unity debacle. And I don't know, Ryan, this came to us from Iceworm. Did you get a chance to actually watch the video where they were talking about, you know, like everything that kind of went wrong with Unity and where they wanted to go with Syndicate?
I did. Yeah, I...
Didn't your heart just break a little bit?
It did. And I like,
they were so sad. And I don't know if they found, like, the four people that took it the most personally and that were just the most upset about all the reviews and stuff of Unity. But, I mean, like, you see them talking about it. They're talking about how it's, like, their kid and they worked on it for, like, 4 years. And it's so hard to see all the negativity and the, you know... Just, oh, and I was like, oh, my heart's breaking for you a little bit right now.
Yeah.
Totally had my sympathies over that video.
Iceworm submitted the video, and he kind of, Iceworm's a great guy, but he had kind of gone off saying that, you know, it just, he did say he may be a bit cynical when it comes to this stuff, but it feels, the apology feels sort of disingenuous. And that's a fine reaction, because I think when you look at what happened with Unity and the way the AAA developers kind of talk up their game and then throw it to the wild, now give Ubisoft a chance here. They did do a lot of work to fix issues, but at a certain point they have to like drop it like it's hot and move on to the next Assassin's Creed, because those things are yearly, man.
Yeah.
And what I had said to him was basically like, that's a valid response. The other response is basically you wait and you see, and if Syndicate is a good game and fixes the issues, then that was for sure a sincere apology. But if you watch that video and watch what's happening and have worked a day in your life at any company, no company would do that. No company would sit there and apologize for this thing that happened, this unfortunate thing where a highly anticipated AAA game came out and it was just riddled with issues. People reviewed it poorly, fans reviewed it poorly, and no company in my right mind would do this, right? They would not, even Nintendo. If they put out a crappy Nintendo game, you know how long it took them to admit that those CDI Zelda games were absolute batshit? 20 or 30 years, man, and I think it was buried somewhere in Hyrule Historia. It's like, oh yeah, about those games, they don't count. They're garbage. We apologize for licensing our technology to Philips. But seriously, do you really think any other company would do this? I have to commend Ubisoft, even if they're talking bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. EA has given the half-sided apology, Midnight Bombers, saying he's still waiting on apology from EA.
Yeah,
they did that with SimCity, and it was close, right?
Even then, and maybe it's because I was more, I guess, affected by SimCity, because that was a title that I was so looking forward to. Like, it was, my excitement was way up here, and then they delivered way down here, and I was pissed. So, I mean, when EA finally came out and kind of maybe said that they were sorry, kind of a little, I was just like, screw you, douchebags. I am never playing another Sim thing from you again.
And then they shut down Maxis.
I know they did, and I feel like I'm partially to blame.
We're sorry that SimCity sucked. We're going to take everybody's feedback to heart and kill the developers.
Like, fire
what?
Everyone.
No, don't do that.
That's not what we said.
No, we just want a better game. Please let these people work. Yeah. And Jimmy's saying, like, the apology probably would have been a little more heartfelt if it wasn't attached to an advertisement for their new game. Got to give it. It ends with, look forward to Assassin's Creed Syndicate this November. We promise it won't suck until you
play it. And that is true. I mean, although I feel like at least I took it a little bit of a different way. I didn't take it as a full-on advertisement. And maybe this is just like I've had so many people in the last couple of weeks tell me that I'm too positive and I just am, you know, like give everybody the benefit of the doubt. But I looked at it more of like, okay, we know we screwed up. But now this is a really cool thing that we're working on. We're excited about it. Like, less as an advertisement, more as a, we're sorry, have this bouquet of flowers, you know? Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, you even look at other big dropped balls in the video game industry. Look at what Microsoft did with the Xbox One and Kinect. And even they didn't apologize. They just basically said, like, I guess you guys weren't ready for the awesomeness that is the Xbox One. Sure, we'll cut the price. Sure, we'll take the Kinect out. Like, that's not being apologetic. That's just changing because you can't stand the noise, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas what Ubisoft's doing is they're even if it's not a sincere apology, they're still apologizing, right? And that takes guts, right, to go out there and say, like, look, we're going to say this on the record, whether these guys are paid actors or actual developers. One guy even says, like, I saw my face bug on the cover of IGN. And I was like, oh, God, no. And you feel for that guy, right? It feels genuine. Like, sure, you fixed the bug and someone played it and got the bug to crop up again. And that sucks. But his work was a meme. Or I guess, like, basically, he's not going to be able to work anywhere else because his resume is just like, I worked on Assassin's Creed Unity and the face bug was my problem. Please hire me. It's like, now he's stuck at Ubisoft making Assassin's Creed games for the rest of his life. Now, does that not seem like a hell of some kind?
Yep. So true. Oh, man. So true. So, are you excited about Syndicate?
I, to be honest, don't know a whole lot about it, except for, like, hearsay. I do enjoy the sort of London setting. And, again, just having played The Order and playing Bloodborne, this is all sort of in the same area, right? It's really cool that we're going to get to explore more of that. So I'm excited in that front. Plus, I love, like, British accents, especially from this time. So, and I guess you get to play as a female assassin, I had heard. That sounds like an awesome, like, again, taking feedback to heart.
Yeah, and I do feel like Ubisoft has been open to feedback. I'm not 100% sure I agree with feedback. And I think we've had this conversation before where I wish that they would tell a super cool story about a female assassin as opposed to, like, giving you the choice of being one or the other. Like, I'm much more in the camp of, if you've got a cool story to tell me, just tell me the cool story. Like, I don't care what's between the legs of the main character. Like, who cares? If it's a cool story, it's a cool story. If you want to write about a chick, awesome. If you don't want to write about a chick, you want to write about a dude, that's awesome too. As long as you're telling me a good story, I'm cool with it. And I don't want women shoehorned into roles not meant for them just because they're women and we need more women in games. I would like to see more women starring in, like, roles made for them. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I understand. Yeah. No,
It kind of bugs me that they're just like, oh, yeah, and last time you guys got pissed off because we didn't have any chicks, so now we have chicks. Yay!
But I don't think that's the reasoning. Like, you look at a game.
I hope it's not. I'm not saying that it is. I hope that it's not. I hope it's like, I hope it feels organic and natural and, you know, they're doing it for the right reasons as opposed to, well, a whole bunch of people got pissed off, so now we have to have a chick.
Well, it's nice to know that you're paying customers, want a specific feature in a game, and it's like, okay, well, maybe we can look and see what kind of stories we can tell by having a female assassin, and I guess in your party, right? You will get to play as her, but you sort of roll around as a group, similar to like maybe like GTA, where you can switch between characters to experience different parts of the story. Faramir in the chat room is saying, wasn't there a Chinese assassin that was female? Yeah, there's a side-scrolling game that just came out, which actually looks really cool. Jimmy.
Yeah, and actually, Midnight Bomber in the chat room, I have noticed this as well. I haven't actually seen the movie yet, but he's saying a really cool story with a strong female lead is Mad Max, and it's really, really awesome. It does. It looks awesome. She looks strong. She looks like she fits into the cast. It doesn't look forced. And that's what I'm looking for in video games. Mm-hmm. I don't want to just be like, well, here's a chick because boobs.
I still think, yeah, oh yeah, for sure. And there are a lot of games out there that are like, yeah, let's put a female character in boobs, right? That happens. And it's unfortunate. I would even say like The Witcher 1 and The Witcher 2 was like, let's throw boobs in. I think the first game was literally like Playboy characters. Literally. Like they had hired porn star models to be in their game. And I think the second one had like another character who was there. I think the game started with a sex scene. And I've heard that Witcher 3, even though you can have sex on a unicorn, has been a little more...
That's like the only thing I've heard about The Witcher 3 is unicorn sex.
Which isn't fair. I think with The Witcher 3, they again are listening to the feedback and to sort of the climate of the gaming industry and being like, okay, guys, we can do better. We should have female characters, but we shouldn't just have female characters for something just to have... I don't know how to say it a better way than how Jimmy's saying it, like just have boobs around. Like I think that's a really stupid reason to have, because there are great female characters out there, and I don't know. I'm looking forward to Syndicate. I really should get back to Unity just to kind of keep the streak alive, because I think I've played all of the console games, and I put so much work into it. I feel like I'd be remiss to stop now, right? Because mm-hmm. What is this, the 9th, 10th game? I can't even remember.
I don't even know. It's been a lot.
1, 2, Brotherhood, Revelations.
3.
And then 4.
Black Flag.
And then there's like some offshoots in there too. I don't know if we should count them, but there's like a Vita game that I played, the HD remastering. And then came out Unity.
Unity. And so then there's Unity Rogue. 7.
I'm at 9. I don't know. Maybe I... Oh. And then 10 would be Syndicate.
Yeah.
And I, you know, like that's crazy.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
But I am looking forward to it though. I think it's because, like I say, I played Black Flag, didn't play Unity, but I think Syndicate is something I'm going to pick up. So I might just like Wikipedia what happened in Unity and go from there.
But that's the thing, is they've kind of taken the overarching story out of the games, right? Like after 3, it's like, nah, you're just a dude in an Animus and you're a pirate and just go nuts.
Just be a pirate because pirate. Okay.
Which is, you know, okay. Unity was like, we want to have an Assassin's Creed game set in the French Revolution. Boom, it's done. Mm-hmm. You're in the Animus, go. It doesn't matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So if you want to show off your TGI pride, you can head on over to /loot.com. That is /loot.com to grab yourself a Gamers in T-shirt. They have tons of other awesome shirts, including all your favorite podcasts like Azeroth Roundtable, Torrent, Think Tank, Zombies Ate My Podcast, and The Angry Chicken. Head on over to /loot.com and show off your podcast pride. That brings us to the listener feedback portion of the show. We have a tweet from Logan who asks, how do you guys balance gaming with other non-job stuff and relationships so you live a healthy, balanced life? Ryan, I feel like you're the best one to answer this because, I mean, I had a conversation today that was literally talking about my completely unhealthy lifestyle. And sure. I mean, we've touched on it a little bit earlier in the show. I stay up ridiculously late. I find it really hard to juggle my streaming, my podcasting, my gaming with my normal like 9-to-5 job. I'm usually up until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and then I'm up and at work by 8. It's bad. It's really, really bad. So I feel like you with, you know, the wife and the house and the, you know, not drunk at 3 a.m. playing video games is probably a much better kind of role model to answer this question.
Yeah, I think it's all a matter of like priorities and setting things above other things and having us like my wife
knowing when to say no.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too, like peer pressure is a big thing, and playing video games with people, like there's that high chance for peer pressure, and oftentimes I do give in. Like last night I did stay up an extra hour and a half or so, and I felt it the next day. And but like having like Ashley, you know, I always discuss things with Ashley, and it's like, okay, here's what I'm doing. And then there's that compromise, right? She's probably listening to me hear this right now and be like, compromise, what the fuck is he talking about? It's like, no, please understand. No, not at all. It's about compromising, you know, like we set aside days where I'm not podcasting, like Monday nights, Tuesday nights, sometimes if there's nothing going on. Just to kind of hang out, watch TV, go for a walk, just relax and not be like, I'm going to play a video game, or, you know, I'm going to go podcast for a bit. There's those boundaries, right? And knowing when there's a life event that comes up, scheduling around it and being like, well, I can't record this weekend because I got to go home to a wedding or something. Mm-hmm. And
I think that's kind of the difference for me. The reason why I guess I don't necessarily need as much balance in my life. I mean, other than my, you know, 9-to-5 career job, where I'm living out in Nova Scotia, like, I don't have a ton of friends here. Like, I have a really small, really tight core group of friends, but most of my friends are online, and the way that I interact with them mm-hmm. is by playing games. And my family are all back in Ontario, so, like, I don't have, like, things on the weekend where, like, I have to go home for a wedding. Like, just doesn't happen. I go home a couple times a year, and that's it. So there's a lot less in my life that I have to, you know, balance, per se, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. So...
Well, yeah,
maybe that's why, like, my balance is a little bit or a lot more shifted towards, you know, the gaming and the podcasting than yours is, because I just don't have all those other things in my life that you do.
Yeah, but I'm passionate about podcasting, and I love to podcast and talk about video games and play video games. And sometimes there are points where it's like, damn it, like, my days are completely filled with life stuff. And I, you know, stuff has to be pushed. Like, I've been behind on my YouTube scheduling that I've been pretty good at for the last little while, and then now Google Drive is freaking out. I don't know what happened.
That's okay. I can read the rest of the stuff. We're almost at the end of the show anyway.
Yeah, like, it's just stuff like that. Occasionally things will come up and life, you know, takes the reins, and you know, a show gets posted a couple days late. But all in all, it's, you know, it's you know, we work through it, right? And I think that balance is important. It's just a matter of scheduling things, and yeah.
Schedule is important. Sticking to a schedule is important.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Once we got, you know, Gamers In and Game Night and, you know, Zombies Ate My Podcast and Sleeping with the Elephant all into the schedule, it was like, then people were always new. Like, oh, it's Friday night, Ryan's recording. Or, oh, yeah, it's Thursday night, he's playing video games with his friends.
That's true.
And that helps a lot.
So we wanted to just take a second here and thank our awesome patrons. So this week we are thanking Rock Roll Martian, which is really awesome. Like, who names their kid that, right?
Rock Roll Martian?
Yeah.
I think he missed an N. It should be Rock and Roll Martian.
Anyways, we wanted to say thank you very much for supporting the show. And if you want to be super awesome and support the show through our Patreon, you can do so by going to patreon.com/thegamersin. We are currently way past our monthly patron hangout goal. So we will be doing another hangout sometime in the next couple of weeks where you get to call in, you get to ask us anything, and we have a blast every single time we do it. So check that out. Again, that is patreon.com/thegamersin. We have an email this week from Average Gatsby that's talking a little bit about what we talked about. Was it really last week? Disney, Nintendo, making
that,
a park?
That was.
Sorry, not week. Disney. Universal.
It was, yeah, Universal. That was last week. And man. Yeah, we talked about that. And Average Gatsby says, I was thinking of an idea for a Mario Kart racing ride. Why not take advantage of the technology today and create a modern digitalized go-kart experience? Have a display on your go-kart that displays a map and your power-ups and weapons, a button on the wheel to activate it, similar to arcade machines. As to the actual track, they could maybe use a hologram for the power-up cube, or even speed-up panels, like maybe like a combination of like VR and like bumper cars, basically, but with you're wearing an Oculus Rift.
As long as I actually get to drive, because I think like you can almost have this experience just by playing Mario Kart, you know, like if you're just going to be sitting there and like, I mean, it's a little bit more immersive if we're going down the VR road than, you know, say sitting in my living room. But what I want to do is I want to go and I want to be, you know, like, who do I normally be? I want to be Yoshi.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want to be in the cart. I want to be driving. I want to be Yoshi and experience that and have like, if I get in the Yoshi cart, then I want it to make all the Yoshi sounds. And, you know, I want to be immersed that way. Like in real life, driving a cart on like Rainbow Road. I don't want just, you know, something that if I went and bought an Oculus Rift and somehow interfaced it with my Wii U, I don't want to be able to get whatever experience I'm going to get at the Universal Park in my house. So I feel like you actually have to build a track and be moving and going. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I think that makes perfect sense. And it becomes a little more difficult, but I think with like what HoloLens is showing, they could do something like that where it's literally like a go-kart track and holograms are put on by wearing the goggles, and the goggles show you
what you're
seeing.
As long as I'm in charge of the car, as long as I get to drive. Yeah,
and then, you know, like when, so power-ups could be digital, so a lightning strike could slow down the other drivers. So again, when you activate your lightning, the effects kind of make the car shudder and slow down because you've suddenly gone small. And then when I'm looking forward as a person behind somebody else, I see them like shrunken digitally. I think they could do that probably on the fly. From what I've seen, the HoloLens can do like cool stuff like that. And then they use a digital floor to, you could see like turtle shells appear on the floor with the indicators in the individual carts to alert them of their impending doom.
Because that's really what you want, right?
Yeah, like, oh crap, I got a red shell coming at me. Watch six.
Or you hear the blue shell sound.
Oh god.
No.
They have an item that can take care of the blue shell now, so you better hope you got your horn ready, right? So that's a really cool idea. I think there is a lot of stuff they could do.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that they can do that could kind of augment what you're doing with just a normal, you know, cart ride. So, and I think they're going to have to do that a lot with a lot of the rides. Like, they can kind of take existing concepts and build on them with the Nintendo universe. So I want this now. Like, I know we're still going to be waiting like years and years and years because obviously it was only just announced. So, I mean, there isn't even construction going on yet. So
no, they're in the concept phase right
now. Yeah, which is, it's great that they're doing it, but I almost wish that they had all the concepts done and were getting ready for construction and they were like, okay, we're filing permits, like this is going to leak, so now we do our announcement. And then they could have said like, we're building a park and here's what the rides are going to look like. You know, like, I want more information. I want more. I want it now. Like, I'm so greedy.
Yeah, well, we'll get there, right?
I know. I'm just so impatient.
Me too. But hey, at least this will get me to go to Universal Resorts, right?
That's true. So speaking of being impatient, if you guys don't want to wait until June 2nd, we actually still have 3 Heroes of the Storm beta keys that are available. So if you guys want them, then just let us know. You can hit us up on Twitter. You can shoot an email off to the show, or you can let us know right now in the chat room. So again, we have 3 Heroes of the Storm beta keys to give away. So just hit us up and let us know. We gave a couple away this week, and it's good fun. So I think that pretty much does it for us tonight. You can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including StarCast, Into the Nexus, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffitt. You can also find us on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know what you thought about The Order or about the Assassin's Creed apology, you can do so at info@gamersandpodcast.com. So that does it for this week. Thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week. Night, everybody.
Spread your ink. Don't do that. Don't do that. Sorry.
Ridiculous.